Good morning to everyone. I would like to join in with those who have come before me in welcoming all of you here today and hope that your stay here with us today will be a good one and that you will have enjoyed visiting with us today. If you are a guest in our audience today, we want you to know that we count you as our honored guests, that you are our VIPs for today, and that if there is anything that we can do for you that makes your stay here more comfortable, just let us know, and especially if it's of a spiritual nature. I want to join also my brother in saying Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. It's always good to know that there are still good fathers out there doing what they were supposed to do. You know, God placed a great responsibility upon the man. And it's incumbent upon us to live up to that expectation of God. But as I always say, I like to be fair. We say Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there. But if there be some deadbeats out there, we want to recognize you today. So if you are a deadbeat father, would you just raise your hand so that we can see who you are? But good morning to everyone. I hope everyone is It's feeling good today because I think I'm in an exceptionally happy mood today. I feel really good about today. Today is a good day to be a Christian, a good day to worship God. As a matter of fact, it's the time that God has given us, and we ought to be thankful for that. But if you are here visiting with us, and there are some visitors' cards on the back of the pew that is in front of you, if you don't mind, would you fill one of those out that we may have a record of your visit with us today, and also that at the appropriate time, we can recognize you as our distinguished guest for today. Also in that same pocket are some prayer request forms, that if you have a special prayer request that you would like, that you do not want to stand in other, that you can write that prayer request down upon that prayer request slip, and we will read it at the appropriate time, and we will guarantee you that we will pray on your behalf according to your prayer request. I am in a good mood today, and I hope you are too, because I love the Word of God. I love studying the Word of God, and I love learning what it is that God would have for us to do, learning what I need to do to be pleasing unto God, knowing that I must be faithful unto God to please Him. That, as the Hebrew writer said, for it is impossible to please God without the faith. That we must have the faith. And not just any kind of faith. We got to have the correct faith. You see, that's important because a lot of people will tell you that they have faith in God. But if it's not according to God's word, that faith is vain. That faith will get them nowhere. So it's important that we have the correct faith in God. And it's such a privilege to be able to understand the Word of God. Those of us who understand the Word of God, we ought to thank God every day that we understand the Word of God. Because according to the Scripture, the majority of the people that live in this world do not understand the Word of God. Do not see God's Word the way God intends for us to see it. And so it is a great honor that we are looking into God's Word and looking for what God said, and not trying to boost our own agendas. So this morning, If you don't have your seatbelts on, go ahead and buckle them right now. Because we're about to take off and we want everybody to be securely locked in your seat there. I just want to go back and reread verse number 22 that was read in our midst this morning of Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to go back and read verse 22. And I want you to think with me this morning from this subject that hell is real. It's a reality. Hell is real. Don't let nobody tell you otherwise. Hell is real. So I want to go back and reread verse number 22 that was read in our hearing this morning from Matthew chapter 5. Verse 22 says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." The last two words of this verse 22 came from the lips of the blessed Son of Man, Jesus Christ himself. He said, hell fire. And they are two words, not just one, that it may be misunderstood as to say hell is the grave. But he said hell fire. So in saying that, he gave a descriptive term to what hell is all about. There are those who like to point out the compassion of Jesus Christ, and rightly so. The shepherd caring for the lamb, the tears that fell from his eyes, the thousands he fed. There are those who base their preaching upon the miracles, and rightly so. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the sick. He picked an ear up off the ground and put it back on Malchus's head. There are those who talk much about the kingdom he built, the church, how he gave his own blood to purchase it, how he went to the cross, gave his life as a ransom for you and for me, and rightly so. And for that, we just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving yourself in our place. But in this day and time, it is not popular at all in 2016. Not popular at all to take everything that Jesus has said and preach on it. For the Son of Man is the one who said, hell fire. If you could take hell from the Bible, which most churches have done today, then you could accommodate people in different ways. You could make them comfortable, for there would never be a fear of any future judgment. But according to the New Testament, Jesus Christ, of all people who lived on this side of eternity, who lived upon this earth, who walked upon this earth, preached more about hell than anyone else ever had. And he told us about hell, described it, laid it out in simple terms that it would not be misunderstood as to what kind of place it is. Here in Matthew chapter 5, he said, hell fire. Therefore, fire is included in this place called hell. In plain words, hell does exist. The Bible makes declarations, definitive statements, declares things to be so. You and I can believe it or we can reject it. The Bible does not set out to prove anything to anybody. It's like the bear in the cage. It needs no help. If you don't believe it, let him out. And we'll see who needs the help. It simply says, in the beginning, God. You can say there's no God until you turn blue in the face. It will not change the issue. One day, we will all stand before God, like it or not, believe it or not. The scripture says, God created the heavens and the earth. And it does not matter, or it does not make any difference to me whether you are a professor of some college or some university, or if you are an anthropologist or archaeologist or what have you. It does not change the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. God also became man over 2,000 years ago and came into this world and told us things that we had never heard before. We know from the Old Testament that hell is a place. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 9 and verse number 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And the nations that forget God. We know that. And we know that it is mentioned time and time again throughout the Old Testament. It even says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their cry of glory and their multitude and the pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Did you hear that? He said, hell has enlarged itself. You're not gonna fill hell up. If you so choose not to obey God and be obedient to God that you can have a home in heaven, there's a home awaiting for you, and there is room there for you. You will not fill hell up. Hell has enlarged its mouth and opened it up for those who so choose to go there. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 20, the Bible says, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Hell is never full. It doesn't matter if you live 150 years. Hell is patient. But when Jesus Christ showed up over 2,000 years ago, the carpenter, the Galilean, he preached about hell. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, the Sermon on the Mount, he introduced the doctrine of hell. He said, hell fire. So according to the scripture, hell is a place that exists. This is not a Church of Christ doctrine. This is a God's doctrine. This is not a Christ doctrine. this is a Christ doctrine. And this is a Holy Spirit doctrine. And this is a Bible doctrine that hell does exist. And there is nothing, not anything that you or I can do about it. And it awaits those that leave this earth unprepared to meet God. It is a place that was created for the devil and his angels. And when the Bible says that it was created for the devil and his angels, it was not referring to a lounge, but a place of punishment. Hell is a real place, a place of punishment. And if you are smart, if you have any intelligence, you ought to be thinking about where you are going when you leave this world. There's one thing that is absolutely certain, and you ought to know this by now. One thing that is absolutely certain, and that we ought to have come to grips with, is that you and I are going to die. You will leave this earth. I know you think you're going to live forever. I know you don't want to face the reality of one day having to die. But there will come a day when you will lay your head down on your pillow for the last time. Your heart will beat for the last time. There will be no more life left in your body. But the question is, where is your soul going? Are you prepared? I know you prepare your house. I know you prepare your income. You prepare your whole life. But have you made plans? Have you made plans for your spiritual life? Where you headed? When you leave this life, hell is a place that does exist, and it existed even before you were born. It is there, it will be there, and there is nothing you and I can do to change that fact, not one iota. It does not make any difference if the churches today stop preaching on hell. If the preacher stop preaching on hell, if the seminars and Bible colleges stop preaching on hell, if they refuse to teach the young men that are aspiring to be preachers to teach about hell anymore, it will not change any fact concerning the fact that hell does exist, and it will be there awaiting whoever is not prepared to meet our God. There are people dying every day. And it should not be a shock to us. In Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse number 19, the Bible says, there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There's a certain beggar named Lazarus who laid at the gate of the rich man, filled with sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his wound. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Also the rich man died, being in hell, lifted up his eye, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Then said Abraham, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and Lazarus evil, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides this, there's a great gulf fixed, that they which would come from thence cannot, neither would they who would come from thence to us. Well, I pray thee, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brethren, lest they come to this place or torment. Then said Abraham, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Then he said, nay, Father Abraham, though one should go from the dead, they would repent. And Moses said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded the one should go from the dead. You see, some has taken this reading and say that it's a parable. You know, there are different opinions about that. I have to be of the persuasion that it's not a parable. Because of the way it began, it started out, he said, there was a certain rich man. And then it goes on to use characters in this that we know to have been people that lived. Moses. And there were several men named Lazarus. But the fact of the matter is that whether it's a parable or whether it's not, does not change the fact of the matter of God's word, that hell does exist. And if we're going to escape the dangers and the ugliness of hell, we're going to have to be obedient to the word of God. It is almost in this reading, it is almost saying that this rich man awakened in a place that he absolutely didn't have any idea that existed. Beyond his wildest imagination, he never for one time thought that there was a place like this. But I may have to retract that, because the Bible says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, if he had no inclination of this place, what did he know about Abraham? And then he went on to say, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He knows that Father Abraham. So evidently, he has some kind of sense about this place. You see, but it doesn't matter, because hell is a place that has been prepared for those, whether you know about God or whether you have just chose to not be obedient to God. See, it's not enough to just know about God. You got to be obedient to God, because if you're not obedient to God, you will receive the same just reward. You have to be obedient to God. So whether this man knew that this place existed or not, he chose not to follow God. And as a result, hell became his home. It is permanent. It is settled. It is over. And whatever you have done in this life will determine where you go when you die. Without God, you go to hell, plain and simple. It is a place that awaits you at the end of your life. It does not matter how long you live. Hell is patient. It will wait for you. It is almost like hell takes glee in the fact that those who die without Christ will enter into its mouth. That's why Jesus came over 2,000 years ago. That's why Jesus died upon the cross. He didn't die to make you rich. He didn't die because of who you are. He didn't die for you to become the best athlete in the world. He didn't die so that you could be the first black president. He didn't die so that you could be the first woman president. He didn't die so that you could have all the finer things in life. He died upon the cross to keep you and I out of hell. That's why he died upon the cross. So when we neglect the salvation that he offers us, when we fail to give adherence to what he teaches us in his word that will guide us and keep us from being people that will enter into the mouth of hell, when we neglect those things, then there's no other place for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." He died for you and for me to keep us out of hell, that we can escape the ugliness of hell. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's why the cross of Calvary was so horrendous. Because he would keep you and I out of hell. There's only one name on earth that can keep us out of hell, and it is the name of Jesus. But Satan is smart, because he has made hell to be such a common word among us today, until we have all become so desensitized with it. It has no meaning to us anymore. It has no punch anymore. You know, it used to be when you talk about hell, people would quiver up. People would start to sweat and get afraid of the things that you are talking about. But now it's been so desensitized and so lessened by Satan that we just let it pass by as an everyday common word or phrase. And it has no impact upon our lives anymore. But you know, the Bible does say we are judged by what the Bible says. You know, most Christians today know as little about the Word of God than ever before. That's why they are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's why they jump from religion to religion. It is a sad commentary, but the Bible has not changed. Hell is still real. Today may be our last day upon earth. We don't know. Today may be the last chance we have to escape hell. We don't know. One day, we will be laying in the morgue. And they'll have our funeral in a couple of days after. Then they'll come back, eat a piece of chicken, But where will you be? Where will your soul be? Hell is real. But someone say, preacher, I just don't believe all that. Well, why don't you believe it? And what do you base what you believe on, why you believe that? Why don't you believe in hell? Well, I just don't believe that God is like that. Well, what do you know about God? What God have you been talking to? You ever read anywhere where God said that there wasn't a hell? What did he say in his word? What does he say about hell? That's what we need to be concerned with. What God says about these things. And start depending upon what man has to say. Because man will lead you astray. If the blind lead the blind, guess what? Both of you gonna end up in the ditch. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10, the Bible said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Hell is real, and hell is coming. For all of those of us who are not prepared to meet God. You know, I like, you know, when I go places and there's a cemetery around, I like going to cemetery, and I know Sister Stone like doing that also. Going in there and reading the headstones, you know. And especially in those cemeteries where you have a lot of war veterans and veterans and stuff in there. Because you can learn a lot of history from reading those headstones. You can learn of a lot of great things from reading those headstones. And when I'm reading them, you know, my mind is trying to follow what I'm reading. And I'm looking back and seeing all those things. But there's always one lingering question that's in my mind. Where are they? Where are they? Hell has no respect of persons. The young, the black, the white, the Americans, the Cubans, the Russians, the British. It has no respect of persons. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Anyone who dies without Christ in their life is hell bound. But let me just bring it a little closer to home here. You know, I'm not talking to someone 10,000 miles away. I'm talking right now to Northwest and to all of our guests who are here today. The saddest part about hell is that it's too late. If you're like the rich man, and when you open your eyes in hell, being in torment, it's over. It's too late. Nothing can be done for you at that moment. I'm talking to people here today. Nobody can now plead your case. Nobody can you now show that you are willing to change and make a difference in your life and then make your life a more productive one and one that wants to please God and follow God's laws in obedience to Him. You can't do that anymore. All those chances have ceased. All those chances are gone. Whatever goes to hell stays in hell. But you know, when we're thinking about hell and all the gruesomeness of hell and how that it is permanent, it's got a great gulf fixed that you can't cross one way or the other. There is one good news that we can shed on this thing. And that one good news is that by learning about how bad and how gruesome hell is, we also can learn about how great and wonderful God is. And that God can save us from this place. We can learn about the Savior and how much He loves you and I. And how much He wants to keep us out of this place. And how He have allowed you this morning, at this moment, to be in this place. Not by accident, but by opportunity. He's given all of us this great and precious opportunity that none of us should leave here this morning standing on the outside of God. God has given us this opportunity at this time to make things right with Him. And that's good news. Because everything else concerning hell is bad news. But God stands above hell. And He can keep us away from that place if we are willing to turn to Him, that we can set our destiny, and our destiny should be heaven. But one day, all opportunities will run out. And if you have not chosen Christ, you'll stand alone. The Bible said that Lazarus was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's the kind of welcome we get when we follow Christ. But He said of the rich man in hell, lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He traveled that journey alone. To awaken to all kinds of evil and bad stuff. That's what we get when we fail to choose God in our lives. But we can't squander the opportunity that God gives us over and over and over again. He's not willing that any of us should perish, but that all come to repentance. But how long will it last? How long are we going to be given these opportunities? How long are we going to be given these chances to make it right? In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible had this to say. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. The only one who has the keys is Jesus. If you want in, you got to go by Brother Jesus. You got to consult God. You got to obey His word. If you want to escape the ugliness of hell. It's the only way. He is the only one. If we so choose to go in a different direction, then you go alone. You stand alone. And you will carry the responsibility of what you receive. So one last question for this morning. Are you here this morning and you do not know who God is? You have not become a child of God? And secured your place in heaven by your continual faithfulness in God. That you plan to live the remaining parts of your life worshiping and serving God, doing the things that God would have for you to do. If you are not that person, Don't you know you are playing a dangerous game? Don't you know you are putting your soul at a serious risk? Hell is permanent. There is no leaving hell. There is no salvation in hell. There is no forgiveness in hell. There is no comfort in hell. And when you choose to put your soul in that kind of danger, what kind of person are you to yourself? So if there's anyone here this morning, if you're not certain about your condition, you need to be certain. Make your calling and election sure. God tells us in plain words how to become a child of God. And then he tells us how to live upon becoming a child of God. And to do this until our life has ended. And if we do so, that God has promised us that we'll have a home in heaven with him. We must hear the word and believe it. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then be willing to go down into that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. That's how you become a child of God. That's the inscribed word within God's word as to how to become a child of God. And then live faithfully unto death. Don't let no one deceive you. That all you have to do is just believe upon the name of the Lord or lay your hand upon the TV screen and pray the sinner's prayer and now everything is all right. You can continue on in everything you've been doing it all the time. Don't let no one deceive you in that manner. God is specific as to what he would have for us to do. And we must be specific in what we do. So if you're here this morning and you do not know God in the pardon of your sin, God has given you this opportunity today to make that right. If you have become a child of God, but for whatever reason it happens to be, you've left God, you've fallen away, you strayed away, you have this opportunity to make it right with God right now. In a few moments, we're going to be standing and singing the invitation song. And if you stand in the need of becoming a child of God or recommitting your life to God, make it known. It is too serious of a matter for us to just be so casual about the situation. Hell is real. And there's no getting around it. We can choose to not believe it all we want. But one day, one thing is for certain. We'll all know. We'll all know whether there's a hell or not. But for some of us, it may be too late. Or there'll be no change. We're going to ask our song leader to come up and prepare to lead us in our invitation song. We're going to ask you to stand. And if there be anything that you need this morning, spiritually, do not let this opportunity pass without making it known and without correcting that error in your life. If you all be standing, please.
Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus.
No one has to follow but Jesus.